Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hello and welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Once again, to my right, Pastor David, to my left, Pastor Bob. I'm in the middle, I'm Jeremiah. As you can see, I'm in the middle if you're watching the video.
Stuck in the middle.
Yes. If you're on audio, it doesn't even matter. So here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about grace today.
Great grace.
That sounds like a cereal.
It is. Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It'd be a tasty one.
that would be a good cereal.
It would be a great cereal. Great cereal.
Every day when you're eating, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, the grace is so good. And sugar-free.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's sweet, but sugar-free.
Yeah. It's good, man.
Sweet, sweet grace.
Sometimes you can just eat it out of the box.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Well, we're not talking about great grace. We're talking about
feeds the soul.
The scandal. Okay. Pastor David, talk to me about this scandal word. What are we talking about?
Well, scandal comes from the Greek word skandalon, which is stumbling block. And you might have heard that before, that Christ is a stumbling block. In Galatians 5, Paul said, if I still preach circumcision, then the offense of the cross, the stumbling block of the cross, has been removed. That there's actually a finished work of Jesus that is sufficient for us to be reconciled to God. By his grace alone. Mm-hmm. To receive his grace alone means we've received the reconciliation. We've come back completely. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. We've been made righteous completely by grace. Mm-hmm. Not by keeping ceremonial laws, not by perfectly keeping moral laws, not by believing the right set of doctrines, but by receiving what he has done, the finished work of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that can actually stumble some people. Some people can run headlong into that, and there's really no way around it. Like, I've hit the stumbling block. I don't know if you guys have, where you're just like, wow, God really operates this way? It doesn't seem fair.
Right.
It doesn't, like Adolf Hitler can kill 6 million people, and if he repented, he'd be saved, you know, like that sort of stuff. And there's really no way to get past the stumbling block except to just hit it, and God has to get you up again. Yes. You know, that's how I've seen it and how I've expressed it. But some people don't get up from it.
Well, Pastor David and I were discussing this just yesterday, and out of the blue, I go, yeah, the problem is if he becomes a stumbling block to you and you fall over the stumbling block, you'll fall right into the whipping post.
Oh,
you know, which back in those days was another big rock that you got tied to and whipped on. And what you do is if you forsake grace, or try to get by without grace, there's going to be a stumbling block there, and a whipping post.
Oh, yeah,
and it may be you might be the one tied to the whipping post and the whipper,
or you might tie other people to the whipping post.
Or you might tie other people. Oh yeah, it's the way it works.
That was actually a heavy revy when you said that to me yesterday.
Yeah, like, you went off on that.
It
one.
It struck me sideways. I was like, I'm going to think about that. You know, because any time that we're not receiving God's grace, it's actually going to result in pain for us. We fall back into fear. You know, we're not allowing God's grace to train us for godliness, and you know, we're not allowing it to bring us into everything that he has for us. I would be curious some of your reflections, Jeremiah, just on this idea of grace and some ways we want to think about it. Some of your reflections.
One of the ways I think about grace is that grace is God's power. And so it's through his power, his sovereign work, his sovereign strategy, his sovereign wisdom, that he enabled a way for us to be back fully restored with him, in communion with him, walking with him in fellowship, the deepest level that he desired and created us to be in. And he did all that because he had a sovereign plan. And all we had to do is receive it. That word is so key. Reception. I believe we have to go on receiving too. It's not just a one time like, oh, I got saved, and so I received by the grace of God, and that's settled. And it's like, yes, it is settled.
Check.
But now you need to walk daily in and continually receive the grace that will now sanctify you.
I love it.
And the grace that will now empower you, and the grace that will now fortify you and carry you into all things that God has for you to accomplish.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you abandon grace, you're out on your own. Like, you're floating out there in the middle of nowhere with no oars, no rudder,
That's
nothing.
Rough, man.
It's a rough place to be.
Right.
I agree with you. The same thing. I always think about grace in terms of God as the most powerful thing in the universe because it's him.
Right.
Yes. I mean,
we're talking about like it's some entity outside of God.
Substance.
It's
actually,
substance. Right. He is grace.
Yes.
And so without that, I mean, and grace is powerful. Mm. It's not just this, well, let's just give you grace.
Right.
You know, it's like, that seems so condescending. You know, I don't think God's like, I already know you need grace.
Yeah.
And that's why I provided me for you.
Right.
Okay. It's not just, I'm just being nice because you're just weird little earthly humans that, you know,
earthlings,
you know, and I just needed to take care of you. Mm. And, you know, it's like, I want to actually give you all of me.
Right.
And that's the power. That's the grace part that and I know Pastor David's preached on this and taught about this a lot. And we relegate grace to some weird thing. And then then people start with the greasy grace and the hyper grace. And it's like, you cannot get enough grace. All I'm going to say is like, Jade, son, you've been accessing way too much of God's grace. Who do you think? You're frustrating God.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, somehow God's grace is making you sinful. Yeah. it's a complete misunderstanding of grace. Of course. Like you mentioned it. It's the one thing that really offends me is when people come after the idea of grace and they're like, and Paul, this was a scandal that Paul faced. That he's like, people say, let's do evil so good can come.
Right.
And he's like, that's a slander.
Right.
We don't say that.
Right.
And people say, oh, so we should continue in sin so that grace abounds more and more. It's like, by no means. You died to sin.
Right.
Your new nature is what could be trusted with freedom, not your old nature. That, you know, it had to be constrained by the law. Now you're free.
Right.
Because you have Christ in you. And you need to be shepherded and all that and whatever.
Right.
You know, but like this is, if you nullify grace and you insult grace, there's nothing left to save you.
Right.
And like you said, there's not even anything left to sanctify you. It's not like you get saved by grace. I love how you said it. And then, I can be completed by the flesh. That's another thing that's in Galatians 3.
We started where there, and then we ended in the flesh.
That's so weird, right?
What are you doing?
Like, I received by grace, but then I'll work it out according to the law. What?
Wait a minute. God's power raised me from the dead, and now I'm keeping me alive.
Yeah. Now I've got it from here. Thanks, God.
I got it. God, you can take it easy. No. I'll catch you later.
No, it is a hard
run
one.
On fumes.
Well, unfortunately, David, what you're speaking to, there's so many times in various religions or sections of Christianity, we think it's about all of our works. Right. Mm-hmm. And we do have to work as unto the Lord and not unto men. We do need to work by faith.
Yep.
Those are good works, right? Anything done in direct service to God is a good work. So, yes, we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There is work involved. But the life we now live, we live by his faith because of his grace. His power enabled everything to actually function and happen. Yeah. And there's an aspect of coming under the grace of God that is so freeing, right? And I'm not just talking about salvation. Obviously, that's the ultimate freedom, right? That you will eternally be with the Lord. That's wonderful. But now there's this aspect of being able to walk free from sin in this lifetime. That's the other thing is grace is purchased for us.
You can't do that.
Well, I can't on my own strength. But according
to you need grace.
I need his power. I need his word. I need his grace. But I also need to know that like there will be times where we make mistakes. We're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna sin. We're gonna do things directly, like sins of commission. Like we're gonna do things against God, and we're gonna do things accidentally against God and other people. And there's grace for those things as well. It doesn't mean we stay in that place where we're like, well, grace got my back on this one, and I'm covered. No, you're not covered. You're uncovered when you sin, but you can step back under covering because of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's awesome how fast that can happen. That switch can happen.
Yeah, I don't so earn quickly. That.
No.
I can't earn that.
You need to receive it.
And even when you step out, it's his grace that's going to pull you back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know that scripture is grace is insufficient for me.
Oh. Wait a minute.
In my strength.
That's not the scripture. Is it?
That's the new Bob.
New Bob version.
The new Bob version.
Well, that's like there's a cult that's edited the Bible.
That's the version we all live in when we allow condemnation to guide us.
Right.
That's really what happens. We're saying we have to work for this. Like, and God's like, you can't. Mm. And that's a real tough one, right? Sure. Because we, you know, I want to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thanks for saving me. I'll take it from here. Like you said, I got Jesus, don't take the wheel.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, you know what's interesting? This isn't age old. You know, you were talking about in Romans and, you know, Paul addressing, you know, the law, if you will, there. But both Paul and John and probably a few others addressed the whole Gnosticism that was trying to kind of to this day, weasel its way into the church. Right. Now, this wasn't just the law people. This is the church people. It was like, you have to do stuff. And that's a different kind of law. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Mosaic law. It was actually a new law. Well, that's part of Gnosticism. Yep. It's the new age and everything. You know? Yeah. But it's like, you know, let's cut, you know, ourselves and beat our bodies. And, you know, it just takes a different flavor now. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. And this is why condemnation's like, you have to feel bad.
Right.
Or you have to say certain amount of, you know, prayers. Or you have to feel bad for a certain amount of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even after you confess your sin.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that brings it back to us, and there's really not a lot of grace involved in that.
Right.
It's like, so not.
It's ritualism.
It's ritual.
You have a cleansing ritual, confession ritual. Confess every sin or you're not going to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. Good luck even remembering all your sins.
And this was, like I said, the whole, all of that that came from before even the, you know, church, but worked its way. It weaseled its way into the church. It was even before Catholicism, all of that kind of stuff. It's just the spirit of this world that says, I take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive me. Right. You know, when I feel I'm ready, I forgive me.
Right.
And it's like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that. Right. God's grace.
Right. I love what you're saying there, Dad, about condemnation, because that is, I think, one of the things that absolutely competes with grace, right? Because grace is about receiving by faith. Condemnation is about beating myself by intention. Like, I keep myself down because I don't think I'm worthy, right? That's the constant purveying lie, right, of the enemy.
Right.
But that we buy into, I'm not worthy. Oh, I messed this up. Oh, I'm never going to get it right. And here comes the enemy with all a bunch of lies, because every single one of those lies that we may think, and yes, maybe we did do something wrong. Sure.
We probably did.
We probably did sin against the Lord or our brother or sister. Yes. But the enemy wants to keep us in that state of mind and keep us locked away from his grace and keep us subject to the law, which there is no escaping that. And so the Lord says, look, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so we have to remember, Christ came, he died for not just my salvation, so I can get a new spirit, but it says he died for my sins. He took upon himself sin.
That's right.
All my sins in his flesh, he took them on, and he willingly did that. So that means the sins I committed yesterday and the sins I will maybe commit today, and perhaps probably the ones I'm going to do tomorrow.
Definite.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm just saying.
So he was slain from before the foundations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he forgave all sin was future sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he wrote a blank check before the foundation of the earth.
Yep.
See the scandal? What?
Yeah.
Oh, I could. All things would be lawful for me to do. Yeah, but not helpful. Right. But they might enslave you.
Right.
And it's like you could fall back into a slavery that you were pulled back from.
Right.
But let's not diminish what he actually did.
Right.
If you don't hit that stumbling block, you know, you're like you're not hearing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not hearing how great the gift of righteousness is, you're not hearing the gospel. Mm-hmm. The grace, it's charis, right? It's a gift, right? Mm-hmm. It's God's giving himself. Grace and truth come from Jesus Christ, the person, like you said.
Right.
But man, he is giving us righteousness, the state of being as you ought to be.
Mm.
He's giving us the righteousness of God,
an
infinite righteousness.
Yeah.
You can't grow the righteousness. Mm-hmm. You can only grow into it.
Right.
You know, he's giving us this. Mm-hmm. Like, well, for free. And people are like, that's cheap grace. No, it's not. It's free.
Cheap. I don't even understand where the cheap part comes in. That's just so bizarre.
Well, it's a way of balancing it out and putting some checks and putting some fear and helping the Holy Spirit with a few extra rules and a few extra fears, because he's not going to be able to make us like Jesus. Right. You know, you see, you
the
go.
The power of God is not cheap. There's nothing cheap. No, it's not. Power of God. It doesn't. That none of that stuff makes any sense.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Also, in that process, you know, I think a lot what happens there. Religion can use, like the devil does, can use the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, the word of, against us. And so there, you know, I know there are people that live in this. Godly sorrow works of repentance, not to be repented of.
Right.
People have turned that godly sorrow into depression, condemnation, all those things that it's not.
Right.
Right. It's like, because that kind of godly sorrow is actually recognizing, oh yeah, I sinned against a holy God,
right?
And only He can forgive me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can stand on my head,
right?
And that's not going to help. Yep. I actually am fully dependent on Him. And you know, for those listening, maybe for the first time to this thing, we have a whole podcast on depending on God, dependence, and that we forget that. Like this is where grace. This is the heart of grace. Is this full dependence on Him. But we turned it, like saying this religious thing, like I have to work for it somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have a change. You know, to repent, you have to have a, you know, there needs to be a change of mind.
Yeah.
And followed by a change of action, or else it's not really repentance, it's just feeling bad.
Sure.
But they've turned that feeling bad part of it into godly sorrow, and it's not.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
It's easier.
Because the word for repent is metanoia. The word in Latin was translated penance.
Oh, yes.
Again and again. Repentance.
Right.
Right. And so it's our sorrow that's actually making up for the sin.
Right.
And that's ingrained in how we even say the word.
Right.
Right. And so, but it's actually aligning our mind with God and His kindness that leads us to repentance.
Right.
And our sorrow is a gift of grace because we see what that sin really was. And we actually see what was interfering with our life.
Yeah.
And we're able to have a repentance without regret.
Yeah.
Right.
That's people don't finish the sentence. It's like godly sorrow gives a repentance without regret.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really
not
good.
To be repented of. But you notice if a person's in condemnation, they're constantly, they're in the circle.
Right.
This over and it's over again. It's like there's no actual change.
The hamster wheel.
Yes. That's the hopeless hamster wheel. You just keep running around it.
The hamster wheel,
That'll preach good.
Yeah. Maybe if I go fast
enough. Maybe if I go faster, I'll get the grace.
Hey, no. You keep going fast enough, unfortunately,
our world obviously has modeled this to people and has you know, purveyed upon them that there is no other way to achieve goodness except by works.
Yeah.
It just cuts across the carnal mind, and the carnal mind can't fathom it because it's not about carnality. It's about faith. It's a supernatural aspect.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
The it's so important, man. The carnal mind cannot submit to the law of God. Mm-mm. It's not able to do so. You know, people are like, we are going to work it out. We're going to become submissive now. You're in the flesh. You can't.
No,
like, I didn't make that up. It actually says in Romans 5, the law came to increase the trespass. The thing that we're looking to, to heal us just diagnoses our cancer.
Yeah.
It just says, look, you thought you had 10 sins. You actually have 10,000.
Right.
It increases the trespass. So I better have God help me transform or else I'm going to be like the people in the Old Testament.
Right.
They had the law. They had guys like Samson and Abimelech and Rehoboam and you know, all these guys. It wasn't really helping them that much. All these legal ordinances that really prescribed a great way of living that nobody had the power to do.
Right.
We have to have God to renew us, give us a new nature, and then lead us by Holy Spirit.
Right.
And switch from that lordship and leading of the law to the lordship of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, that's really the switch that we want to make.
Yeah. I want to just testify. One of the things I know that the grace of God has done for me is that there was a period of time, especially when I was younger, that I had a guilty conscience.
Oh.
That I just felt guilty at times. And for whatever myriad of reasons, you know, just like being young and feeling like, oh, I'm in trouble. Like, oh, I didn't do that right. Oh, I didn't do this
and
right.
Part of it was because you were guilty.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part. I had a guilty conscience because I was actually guilty. Yeah. But that's one of the awesome things about the grace of God is that God doesn't want us to be stuck in guilt. right? And that's why he provided his grace and a way out. He provided a way out and a way to stay out. Mm-hmm. And it's different now. I'm just saying that because before, for a lot of years, like probably till my 30s, I had this like, oh, did I do that right? Oh, man, I might have got that wrong. Oh, crap, I didn't want to mess that up. And I would assume guilt. And now the Lord's like, no, just come to me. And if you did do something, you're going to take care of it, right? If you made a mess, you get to go clean it up and you'll take care of it. But my grace is sufficient. My grace abounds. And so you don't, after you've, you know, repented and you're walking in a different direction, you don't have to feel that anymore. If you still feel it, then you probably need to deal with, you know, renouncing the enemy a bit, who's probably trying to heap that on you. Because that's gotten etched into your soul somehow, that's how you're supposed to respond to things. Like God gave us a new life, a new way of understanding how to navigate through life. And it's not by our emotions, right? We walk by faith and not just by sight. And so many times our emotions get involved, which, you know, we have emotions. Emotions are wonderful. That's creation's way God created us to be. But our emotions don't dictate how things should go.
Yeah.
And just because I feel a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Oh,
I think one of those biggest emotions that people deal with, along with the, you know, the guilt feel, it brings on the guilt feel. Mm-hmm. The guilty conscious, if you will,
right.
Conscious, is shame. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's people listening to this right now, and they deal with shame.
Right.
And shame is like, it's like stoking the fire. It's like the coal for guilt,
right.
Condemnation. It's like, if you start there with shame, like, when we're in Christ and we're in his grace, there is no shame, right? Mm-hmm. We come before him like, here I am.
Right.
Like, I have no place else to go but you.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. I mean, if your shame's going to keep you from the place of your rescue, right? And that, and like, I you know, actually, I want to speak. There's someone listening right now. I know that they are deal with shame. And, you know, because guess what? Everybody sins,
yes.
Right? Not there isn't like not somebody's, no one's exempt, but that sin, it can have that festering thing where it hits your emotions and you start to deal with shame. Mm-hmm. Like, I am worthless. I can't step out. I can't do anything with God or for God, or for others for that matter. And so it keeps you just handcuffed with these shackles of emotions. Yeah. And it's a brutal place. Like, people, we minister to people all the time like that in counseling, and they just, the shame has just eroded their life. Mm-hmm. It's just put them in this like prison, and God's like, that I didn't bring that to you.
That's right.
I don't have to shame you. I'm just telling you truth. Like, the Holy Spirit convicts. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, that's wrong. I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Just come to me.
Come this way.
Just come to me.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, don't worry about all the gory details right now. Just come to me. But if you're so fixed on shame, which I believe there are people and people listening right now, they are so stuck in shame that they don't feel worthy.
Right.
Well, guess what? Nobody's worthy,
right
to come to access his grace unless we're in him. So if you've come to him, he's made you worthy to be able to access him all the time. Mm-hmm. He made you that way before you knew him. Mm-hmm. How much more now?
Yeah. Your life doesn't count anymore. The things that you're ashamed of are dead.
Yeah.
They're buried in Christ. Mm-hmm. He lived for you. He pleased God for you. He lived a shame-free life. He lived a glorious, radiant life.
Yeah, but it was
life.
Something I did yesterday, David. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, like my heart will condemn me, and, you know, I got to go, okay, do I have more faith in my shame or in the blood of Jesus?
Yeah, what is?
Do you know, and that's that really is a fight of faith that you're like, okay,
right?
Is my righteousness dependent on my work, or is it dependent on his finished work?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a good choice to make, is that I'm going to make it depend on his finished work. And people, I think shame is the whole reason that humanity left the garden, and it's, you know, we disqualified ourselves from the presence of God, and he's like, you know, I don't believe God moved. I think he moved to pursue us. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever was repulsed by us. Mm-hmm. I think even when we were ashamed, he was not repulsed by us, because Jesus came and sat with the harlots mm-hmm. and the tax collectors and the sinners. And my Nicene Creed says that he was fully God, along with Colossians and a lot of parts of the Bible. You know, like that was God. Mm-hmm. And God is pursuing you. He's not disgusted by the things that disgust you. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually has enough grace to redeem you. And yeah. he has redeemed you.
Yeah.
But he wants to wash you with the water of the word.
But yeah. we have a tremendous yeah. power, okay? Mm-hmm. This one power we have, and that's choice.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, when you that's actually it. Think about it, that's our power.
Yes.
God gave mm-hmm. that to us. He's like, that's the will. That's
right.
the, you know. So you choose, and mm-hmm. you choose him or not.
Right.
And then, from then on, you get to choose him.
Right.
Or not.
Right.
All the time. So that grace that began
mm-hmm.
is able and more than capable. It's super able
that's
to
right.
keep you. It's just a matter of, will you agree to it? Will
yeah.
you will
yeah.
you choose him?
Well, I think yeah. the problem, like you're saying, is that people want to work off the shame. You know, like right. somebody, you have used the Hitler example again. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't atone for his sins. Right. He needs to make up for it. He never could, right? Yeah. And for me and you, it's like, you know, I got to work my way back in his graces. I'm going to arise and go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I'm no longer worthy to mm-hmm. be called your son. Mm-hmm. Make me like one of your hired slaves, hired servants. That's how we think, like that we work for our own atonement, if not for our get me out of hell free card, but at least for our sanctification and our mm-hmm. place in the church and our view as a righteous person, you know, our image that we're projecting as somebody that's worthwhile. That's something we think that we earn. And we don't merit that. Mm-hmm. We inherit it.
Right.
It is the
scandal of grace.
Do you
think that has something to do, like, JT, like the way we approach or think about justice? Like where things have to balance and,
yeah,
you know, and all
good
this.
Question.
We bring God justice into our world, like mm-hmm. how I would, like if you did me wrong,
mm-hmm.
like you gotta, like everything has to be made perfect. And even then,
yeah,
it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? It's not good enough. And with grace, it's like you did him wrong.
Right.
And then he did you right.
Yeah.
And he's not holding it against you.
He changed the paradigm. He completely changed. That's why he fulfilled the law. He yeah. completely changed it, right? The law in the Old Testament said an eye for an eye,
yeah.
tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. If you did this, you get that, tit for tat.
Yeah.
But under Christ, he said, if your brother steals or needs from you, give it to him. Give him a second coat.
Yeah.
yeah.
Continue to give away. It's
that's
a total shift. No.
give him more than he took.
Give him more. It's not about justice, because Lord said vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
And so that's an area that we often unfortunately take vengeance. Yeah. We want to take vengeance. We seek after vengeance.
Yeah.
But then there's something else that David just said a moment ago, and I was thinking of it this way. There's times where, like, say David and I got in an argument, and I didn't like something he said, and I let him know, and he's like, well, that's nice. I'm sorry you feel that way. And I'm like, that's a fake apology. Right, we get into it. Well, the residual of that exchange is that I'm going to feel a certain way about what happened for a period of time. And then him and I could go reconcile, and we could apologize. And, you know, and hey, man, I didn't mean to say that. It's cool. Hopefully, in that moment, we step into grace, and it begins to change. However, my heart, because of the conflict, may still be bothered by it. But just because it was bothered by it doesn't mean that we didn't reconcile. So I'm saying that because there's often at times there's this residual effect to our emotions where we think we still need to pay some penance for something that we did 10 years ago, yesterday, whatever. And because we feel a certain way about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's kind of the sting, in my opinion. Like when you sin, there is a sting to it. And you're like, I shouldn't have done that. But right in that moment, we have the choice, like you mm-hmm. were saying. We have the choice to step into grace and say, Father, I didn't intend to do that, or I did intend to do
that. Well, that would be the other side. It's like, see, with God, it's an interesting thing, because with us, a lot of times we're trying to make up. Mm-hmm. We go, yeah, I really didn't mean that. Meanwhile, God's like, you did when you said it.
Right.
You know, and so when we go before God, like all things are open
yeah,
and naked with him. Like, right. We don't need, there's no hiding there. So you're right. Like, I did that mm-hmm. and yeah. I meant to do it. I even liked doing
wow.
it, but I do need your forgiveness.
That's right.
I need your grace. Mm-hmm. Like I have, like I said earlier, I have no place else to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And this is the weird part. like, this is where how we start to enter into God's grace. It's right. like, how do we forgive people like that yeah. that intentionally sinned against you?
Right.
Not, you know, and Jesus talked about, hey, you love those that love you. You know, right, that's easy stuff. Yeah. Wait till you start tapping into my grace, right? When they've despitefully used you. Mm-hmm. Hey, come on.
Right.
And now, and so that's the deal, because now with him, if we actually man up about this and go, yeah, I meant to do that.
Right.
I did it.
Right.
I did it willfully, intentionally. I did it.
You're right.
And I now I'm coming before you. And that is a, now you're letting yourself into his
grace. But
why
didn't you whip yourself and beat yourself down, Dad? Because of all the things that you did when you finally admit. See, people think they have this idea that if you admit it, now you have to pay for it.
Right.
And the Lord says, I already paid for it, but you have to admit it.
Right.
Which is if the fastest way to get in back under the grace of God is to confess.
Yes.
Right? If whoever covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it shall obtain mercy. That is instantaneous when you step into that. And that, I believe, is that just develops in your relationship with the Lord. You have to trust, this is the faith part of this again, that he will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins whenever we come to him and we confess. Confession is one of the most powerful things that we often shy away from, because we think if I confess, now I have to pay the penalty. Yeah. And so we kind of shuck it. We kind of like try to dodge it. We kind of water it down. And all the while the Lord's like, I see what you did. I know what your intention was. Whether, you know, you just need to come before me and be honest. I need to go to my brother David and be honest and say, Dave, I was upset at you, and the reasons are this, this, but those don't even matter. Right. I shouldn't have treated you this way because you're my brother.
Right.
I apologize, my friend, and I have to let that take place. And he still may be sore at me for a little bit, and it's okay. It's okay, because I did what I needed to do, confessing to my brother and before the Lord, because I didn't just sin against David. Mm-hmm. I sinned against the Lord. That's a lot of times where people get the self-forgiving part kind of mixed up. You have to release yourself from condemnation for sure, but you do that by turning to the one who can release you, who has eternally purchased that for you by his grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good, man. There's like that element of relational forgiveness where we ask and he gives that. There's also the element of he decided to forgive us before he even sent Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
While we were enemies.
Right.
And he decided in advance to forgive. It's this word forbear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he decided to bear in advance all the things that we do against him. The woman caught in adultery, she never asked for forgiveness. The guy that was, and he didn't even say, pray a prayer. He was like, go, sin no more. The guy that was lowered through the roof, he's like, your sins are forgiven. This is his heart. He's like, he's actually this way.
Right.
That he's like, I'm not looking to put the finger on your head and grind it in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not, it's the opposite. Right. But we think he's a hard and severe man so that we could bury our talent and hide from him.
Well, wasn't that the main thing the religious had a problem with him? Like, he's eating with these people, forgiving sin.
Well, because when you ate with somebody and implied you totally affirmed them.
Right. Mm-hmm. You received them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was not, you know, he taught about morality.
Right.
But his whole image was, I'm here with you people.
Right.
I'm going to bear your sins. I'm going to bear your sins. I'm going to give you my humanity that I'm perfecting through a righteous life. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to bring you into the Christ life so you no longer have to live your life.
Yeah.
That's the grace of God, to bring us into a life that trains us for good works or zealous for good works. Mm-hmm. But we are not working for that life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't work for our salvation.
Right.
We don't work to stay saved. We don't work to confirm our salvation. We work because we are saved and other people need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we work. I want to work the way that Jesus worked. He said, I don't do anything if the Father's not doing it.
Right.
If the Father's working, I'm going to be working in the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Father's not working, I'm gonna be drinking and eating. I'll be drinking Welch's. You know, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody. You know, but Jesus, they're like, he's a glutton and a wine bibber. He's having fun. When he's not out healing people, he's having fun. He's giving thanks.
Working, right?
He's enjoying the abundant life that we talked about last time. He's gracious God. The word for the hyperabounding grace is only used one other time. And Paul says, I'm hyperabounding in joy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like how he is. He's like, I'm bringing my kids back. I'm saving them. I'm not here to just crush everybody. That's what you guys think I'm like. Right. That's not what the cross says. No. That's
you
know, not
you just gave me,
yeah.
When you said that, just that picture, I was, my wife and I watched The Chosen. Sometimes mm-hmm. we binge it. And I know that probably offends
not supposed
some
to
people.
Binge
the,
people
you know, the Chosen. Oh my God. It's a,
that's some idolatry.
Idolatry. Some guy who doesn't know Jesus. When you said that, I immediately thought of the time when they have this scene where Jesus is down in the water with his guys and they go swimming mm-hmm. and they start playing like, they jump on each other's shoulders, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you just pushed over the Christ. Right. Like, you know, it's like
hands
what is
off.
He thinking?
Yeah. Hands
what
off.
Are you,
Peter.
You can't push. Yeah. You tried to hold him underwater. He floats normally.
He was a man of sorrows. Yes. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah.
Yeah.
So his grace is not just a forgiveness; it's an attitude.
Yeah,
it's a presence. Mm-hmm. It's the presence of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of glory and grace.
He's the Spirit of grace,
the glory and the grace of God, dwells in us, mm-hmm. and he can never. He says he'll abide with us forever, mm-hmm. even when we quench him and grieve him and disobey him. Mm-hmm. He's like right here.
We just screwed up a bunch of people. They're gonna go away and just like try to live in his grace.
I know.
It's so bad.
Man, what if you weren't afraid, like, right. man, if I don't take a Nazirite vow, maybe I won't be anointed with power for healing.
Anybody who thinks like this grace thing is really like too far, you can send us $30 each and we will forgive your sins.
Oh my God.
And we'll give you, you know, a little prayer book to pray by. Do we have a prayer book to pray?
10 Hail Marys.
10 Hail Marys. You know.
Do your penance. Do your repentance.
Repentance. Yes.
Do you see how it comes in?
Absolutely.
Oh man, I used to have all these rituals. It's like, oh, I sinned. It's going to be, I need to fast now to recalibrate my spiritual life. And what caused this? And let me be introspective. And maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I don't understand any of this. And you know, you fall back into fear because you think that God, fear has to do with the expectation of punishment.
Right.
Jesus says, you know, while you could have expected punishment was when I received your punishment.
David, all I can say is he looks like he hasn't sinned much.
Yeah, not as much as me.
He looks like he's sinned. JT looks like he has sinned much because look, he's been fasting so much. He's in jail. Oh, you and I, we haven't sinned.
Hey, you know, I'm not
like a fat and flourishing.
You know what? John came not eating and drinking, and I came
fast
eating
every day to atone for all of my sins of yesterday. No,
I fast between meals.
Jeez,
but Dave, it is you're talking about something that is, you know, we all have to, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. I want to just reiterate that this mm-hmm. This is understood by faith. That you can't logic your way to, mm-hmm. you know, a mindset that is like, oh, I get it. So mm-hmm. it means I don't have to da da da.
Right.
It's really if you read the Word of God and receive, you have to receive the Word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have to hear the words when we read it, right? Read the Word of God out loud so it gets in your hearing and hopefully gets into your heart. Because when the Lord says that you are forgiven, he really means that.
Yeah.
When he says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, he means that. So if I come to him and I ask him for that, it has happened. So now I have to go, okay, thank you, Lord, for your cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for the washing. Thank you that you've made me free from this. Now help me, empower me, grant me additional grace, right? There is more mm-hmm. that he has in store for you to walk it out and to not mm-hmm. let it, you know, and if your heart is condemned, you said it earlier, and Dad referred to it as also, mm-hmm. you know, with shame. If your heart is condemned, right? If your own heart condemns you, your own heart internally is saying, you don't deserve mm-hmm. this. This is, you're, you know, God is greater than who your is? Heart. Mm-hmm. God is the giver of grace.
I thought I had to be greater.
God is greater.
I have to believe that he's greater.
Well, that's where a lot of people, again, get a little stuck and they go, well, I haven't forgiven myself. So until I forgive myself, I will be able to do yada, yada. And it's like, well, what you need to do is confess and then receive. That's what you have to do. Yeah. And then once you receive his forgiveness, you have to believe you have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you don't believe you have, then you want to absolve yourself from it. Right. So then you think you need to continually forgive
yourself.
It's
pretty complicated.
Like, it's way too complicated. it's humanistic. Yeah, let's just call it what it is. It's humanistic reasoning.
Maybe God made it too simple, son.
No, that's it. Once and for all sacrifice.
He made work. Once and all, like it's covered. Like
Hebrews
10:14,
by a single sacrifice, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified.
Right. He covered it all. Oh. All of all.
Wait a minute.
Wait, who's... Let's look that one up a little bit closer. And is it all?
I mean, look at the book of Hebrews. All these warnings about, oh, man, you're going to trample on Christ. And people are like, look, God's going to reject you. And those warnings are about don't turn back to self-effort and the ceremonial cleansings.
Right.
That's where there's no forgiveness.
Right.
He's like, if you're in Christ, you're not going to... You have an anchor that's secure. Mm-hmm. God never lies. You're going to be fine, dude. Like, he's not going to forget your labor of love. But if you guys think that it's in the camp that the salvation's found,
right,
you're wrong. You got to go meet him outside the camp. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is the message of the whole Bible. There's no more clear doctrine than the supremacy of grace and the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the believer. You could read, you'll find it in every book of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I'm uncertain about a lot of doctrines, not this one. That's like God is actually for us, you know, and he likes to be with us even if we screw up sometimes.
Right.
Which we will. Right. And he gives us something called a gift of repentance.
Right.
That we can't even ask him for forgiveness unless he goes, look at that right there. I mean, convince you of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Right.
So the grace of God will show us our sin. The grace of God will also show us our right standing that can't ever be changed.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He'll also show us that the enemy that we're so afraid of, oh, now the devourer is coming. I tithe 9.98%. Now the devourer is coming.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Actually, I'm also going to convince you that that guy's been judged and he's been cast out. Mm-hmm. So you're good. Mm-hmm. you're at peace.
You're
grace
good.
And peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're gooder than you think.
Every letter starts grace to you and peace
right.
from the Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to just speak to that a little bit, David, but give just a picture to those that are listening. You know, God is so good. Mm-hmm. He's so good. I just feel led to stand in proxy for some people today and apologize because our parents or our upbringing or those who are in charge of our souls early on may not have understood how to model this for us. And so we have a tainted view of our Father in heaven. Mm. And I just sense from Holy Spirit that God wants to wash that view and give you a new perspective that your Father in heaven, he loves you, he adores you, he sent his Son to die for you, he has grace that abounds, and he's always wanting us to come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want any of his sons and daughters to be lost or alienated from him ever, ever again. Once was enough to him. I mean, just like the Father, like once is enough, right? You were taken from him before and he's redeemed your life now and you are back in his arms. You're his son, you're his daughter. And from that place, the new picture is that you are meant to abide in him and with him. And even if you, like I have an 8-year-old daughter, even if she does something wrong, we do not put her out of the house. We don't send her away. What we do is we come to her, we caress her, we hold her, we hug her, we bring her close, and we walk it out with her. And yes, Father will give us instruction. He will teach us through his word, and he will bring us into partnership, like Pastor Bob was saying earlier, with other people to walk with, to do life with differently. So he has a completely different life for you, a completely different perspective, so you see him and receive him as a loving Father. It will change everything about his grace.
Yeah, that's so good, man. Yeah, there's one other thing about this scandal. I just want to hop on here.
Part two.
It's for people that we don't like. The grace of God. Paul, remember, he's speaking at the temple, and everyone loves what he's saying until he says, God sent me to preach to the Gentiles. And they go, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. This is for people we think of as unworthy, people that haven't earned it, people that are distant, people that are enemies, people that are evildoers, right? People that are doing the most reprehensible things, that have no interest in God, people from different religions currently. The grace of God is being sent out. Mm-hmm. There's an announcement of glad tidings of good news the gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. And that is what we have to internalize, the grace of God that he has for me when I've seen it. Like Colossians says, when I understand the grace of God in truth, mm-hmm. when I get it, I go, oh boy. Okay. Well, there's other people like me that also haven't met the standard, and he loves them just as much.
We were those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were.
And it's not like, well, I'm part of this group and I do all these codes and I do these laws mm-hmm. and I attend this and I've have this resume. I've done many mighty works in the name. Like, you got to just let that stuff go. Mm-hmm. The all our pretending has to go when grace comes in, because mm-hmm. we can actually stand in front of a father that we trust.
Yeah.
And we go, he loves me even with everything I did on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, that means that the person that's really given me a bad time, I should forbear them. I should have grace yep. to them. I should try to lift them up, mm-hmm. which is totally impossible if we haven't received that, you know? And so that it scandalizes that it's like, wow, this is the way God has made. It doesn't seem like it's in line with retribution mm-hmm. type justice, with eye for an eye. Mm-hmm. It's actually a higher justice, but it also applies to everybody yeah. that's not making it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is the whole scope of this is very broad. Like I said, it's mm-hmm. the New Testament teaching, mm-hmm. and people didn't like it at first. You know, Peter's like, I preached to these Gentiles, and they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe God also gave the Gentiles the gift of repentance unto life. Are you serious, Peter? You know, it's all the way through yeah. here. You know,
it's like thousands yeah. of years of breaking, know. You know.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to talk to you personally about this? I know. You still don't get it.
I gave you a sheet. I gave you a, you
know, he explains it. Signs. He explains it twice.
Right. I'm talking to you.
No. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
But it almost seems too good to be true.
No. It is. It's just too good.
And it's true. And it's too true. Good and it's true.
Yeah,
and
it's true. Know, man. It's well, good. Do you think that like if people really receive this grace and they're this loved, aren't they just going to sin though? Aren't they just, we're not going to keep control of them and yeah. we're going to ruin everything. And,
yeah, they probably will. This is
how can I assure that they're going to do the right thing with all this grace and all this freedom?
Oh, wait, they probably will, and so will I.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There go I, right?
You're right. But yeah. So. Wow.
His grace is sufficient. That's the mm-hmm. that's the answer. It's yeah. sufficient.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. It will always yeah. abound. It will be there for every time we trip and fall. The big thing, you know, today is we don't want to be tripping other people up, right? Yeah. That's why he was becoming a stumbling block, because we didn't want that to become a stumbling block, where we just say, well, my excess is fine and you know, you're weak over there. Well, tough yeah. for you. It's like, no, your grace isn't a license to cause others to fall and to stumble.
No. Yeah. That's what I said. I said it another time. It's like, I never, you know, grace is not a license to sin mm-hmm. because I never needed a license, and nobody in the Old Testament ever did mm-hmm. when they were under all the rules, you know, me, myself, my own self-imposed religion, mm-hmm. I sinned a lot. Right. I was very good at it. You know, what I need is a license to walk with Jesus without shame. I need a license to believe I'm a true son of God, that I've overcome the world, that I'm actually sent to heal and cast out demons and preach the gospel. That's the thing I have trouble believing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what grace speaks to. You know, when you're around mm-hmm. someone who's not leaning into grace, not understanding and receiving mm-hmm. grace, and they're under condemnation mm-hmm. and all that, you don't get lifted up by that.
Oh no!
Like they don't. I mean, you're around that long enough. You're like, ugh.
You're getting pulled. you're getting pulled down with it.
You know, their heart's condemning them, and now it's condemning you.
Right.
No. You know, you're like, there's no hope. There's no hope at all here. You know, but the reality is, I mean, that's the offshoot of that. That's the damage mm-hmm. it does. Mm-hmm. And so when you're near someone like that for too long, they drag you down.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they're a drowning person, and mm-hmm. then they're taking you down with mm-hmm. them. And so we have to embrace grace.
Yeah,
or we have no other choice.
Right.
Yeah, and it's you have to find a way to unlock that person. You know, it's easy to be like, oh, this person's a legalist. I'm going to exclude them.
Right.
And it's like, well, actually, then you're making a religion out of being anti-religious. Right. And you actually, in grace, you're going to lift up somebody
anti-religion.
You know. And so, yeah, but that's true. I mean, you make a proselyte and you make him twice the son of hell as you are, right? It's you shut the doors of the kingdom of heaven and you don't enter them yourself and you don't let others enter. Mm-hmm. Your stumbling block becomes the whipping post. It's exactly what you said, you know? And so it's something we have to take seriously. Like when we are just allowing, I would say this lie of shame and condemnation for those that are in Christ. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit.
That's not in the early manuscripts. There's no condemnation for those in Christ.
Yeah.
It's finished. So yeah, we must receive that and walk in it. And Paul says, don't let anybody steal that from you. Mm-hmm. Don't go back to a yoke of bondage. Don't let anybody tell you, yeah, but the really good Christians do this. Mm-hmm. The really elite Christians, they graduate from grace into a kind of different works, a kind of different ceremony, a kind of advanced level. No. That's the JV. You know, if the varsity is walking in the Holy Spirit, walking by grace in the Holy Spirit. So don't let someone say, you need to observe these festivals. You need to observe these. It's like, come on. You know, read, I think, what did you tell me? Read Galatians slowly.
Very slow.
Just read it slow. And
it'll hurt, yes.
You know, it'll hurt. It'll hurt a lot. but it's a good hurt, you know? So I don't know if Jeremiah, do you want to maybe close us out or pray us out? Any final thoughts on this? Or
no final thoughts.
Go for it, man.
But we can just pray.
Grace.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace. Which is abundant, which is powerful. It's all powerful. We thank you for the work that you did, the finished work when you went to the cross, when you sent your only begotten Son to die, to pay in full for our sins, for our deafness, our blindness, for the death that was in our spirit, Lord. And you brought us back to life. You gave us a new life. And so as we walk with you now, Father, we just ask that we would be partakers of the grace, that we would receive it now, Lord. I pray that if there's anything blocking that reception, any condemnation, any shame, any guilt, Father, that you would wash us clean and unblock, Lord, and cause us to walk and apprehend now by faith, to apprehend your grace, to receive it and to walk in it with a boldness. Knowing that if we do err, which we will, when we walk away, when we sin, when we transgress, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that your grace abounds, and it abounds so much more. We thank you for today, and we just even impart your grace. That is something we can do. We have received, and so we freely give. We impart the grace of God to our friends, our fellow believers, those who are just listening today, Lord. We impart the grace of God, the power of God to salvation. And we thank you for their life. We ask that you would care for them, carry them, Lord, into new relationship with you and new relationship with your body. Express your grace, Lord, liberally, freely, Lord, freely. We just speak freedom now in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace today.
You know, son, I got this picture while you were praying of someone like down in a pit. It's almost like their own hell. Mm-hmm. And God's sending his grace to them right now, right to where they're at. Just like the power and grace of God raised Jesus from the dead, from, you know, everything, death, hell, and sin, that he's coming to get you.
Thank you, Lord.
To help you today.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit our website, spiritschoolofministry.com.